Residents of Brookline are reeling from allegations that a popular former public middle school teacher has been arrested for sexually abusing a student. Many advocates and educators say this news is yet another example of how weak spots in state law can make it easier for abuse to happen in school systems. WBUR education reporter Carrie Young is here to explain how these laws work and where they can fall short in protecting kids. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, Rupa.
Okay, so first of all, can you tell us about the teacher being accused? His name is Larry Chen. What do we know about him?
Yeah, so we know some basic information. He taught in the public schools of Brookline from 2013 to 2018. And according to Brookline police, the alleged sexual assaults started happening in around 2016. We also know that the district did consider terminating Chen at least twice, and those efforts drew a lot of community backlash. I mean, parents and students organized protests and petitions to keep him in the district. People at the time were saying that Chen was a great teacher, and they believed the reasons he faced termination seemed kind of minor. The first time around when he faced termination in 2015, the district did reinstate him. And then in 2018, he claimed that he was facing termination for letting kids play a violent video game. Chen eventually did resign later that year, though. And after that, he did still work with the town. He worked in the town's rec center, and then he also ran a tutoring business.
At any point, was there a sense that there might be something more serious going on, that was the real reason the district wanted to fire this teacher?
Well, there was certainly nothing on the level of abuse that was publicly known at the time. And I did ask district officials what they knew and when, and they told me simply that they just can't comment on personnel matters. I've also been asking around about whether any colleagues had reported Chen to the school district or leaders at the time. And while I have spoken to quite a few educators about this, no one was willing to go on the record with specific details. You know, and it's also unclear about whether any outside agencies were alerted and were investigating Chen prior to these recent criminal charges and his arrest. And that's because it's also, you know, not public information when or if a district reports someone to the Department of Children and Families or to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education if they have abuse suspicions.
And it seems like that's really key in situations like this, what is and what is not public information.
Right, yeah. I mean, it seems like there is so much confidentiality around these investigations. And, you know, the high level of confidentiality here has kind of become a tension point among advocates and even some school leaders. I spoke with Roy Belson about this recently. He's a former superintendent of Medford Public Schools. And he says another big reason that school leaders generally can't publicly share information about an ongoing abuse investigation is because doing so could potentially prejudice a legal case and then result in an acquittal, and then the teacher is still teaching at the school. He also says that keeping confidentiality can be a really tough task for superintendents to balance. You know, if you're investigating, you put someone on paid leave, for example, the community is going to have a lot of questions, and as a superintendent, you just can't say anything still. So oftentimes you'll see school leaders opt for this other route while state agencies investigate.
Our job is to protect the children and to remove the individual from the educational environment. And if we can do that through using a charge that is maybe more provable right away, then that's preferable. And then it's our responsibility to inform law enforcement.
So the point Belson is raising here, superintendents do have grounds to discipline an educator for conduct unbecoming of a teacher. So this is kind of a tool that school leaders can use when they have credible reports of misconduct, but not enough hard evidence for a more serious charge.
Now, when Belson talks about a more provable charge, what happens if a school fires an employee based on that provable charge, but then the person applies to work in another district? Is there any way for school leaders to share their concerns?
Not really. You know, not without exposing the district to a libel lawsuit. Here's Tom Scott, the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents. He says it can be really frustrating because this dynamic that superintendents are in can allow for something that advocates at least call passing the trash. And that essentially means, you know, when a potential abuser can jump from school to school.
They're protected much more than the individual superintendent or the community. So it's a bit of a stacked deck, but we certainly think there's a need for doing something that provides a little bit more flexibility in this process.
And the charges against Chen and others like it in recent years are why advocates are quick to point out that there are at least some ways to strengthen the system.
And what changes could be made to strengthen the system?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, advocates say school district policy can be a really good place to start, even if no laws actually change. And one thing that schools can do is just set clearer boundaries about what inappropriate behavior actually is. So a good example is a policy that says something like, school staff may not drive students in their personal vehicles. And the reason why this type of rule is helpful is because it means that colleagues don't have to make a judgment call about someone's intention. They can report a behavior that breaks the rules, that's it. Then leadership can investigate after that. And there are also a few bills on Beacon Hill this year to try to close some of the weak spots, but it's also unclear at this point about whether any of them will make it to a vote this session.
Okay. WBUR's Carrie Young covers education. Carrie, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. This was a really big topic to cover, but glad we could look into it further.
I can imagine. Thank you.